Hi.
Hi, Fox.
Hey, Nova.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Welcome back to Mindful Polly.
Yeah.
It's a very special episode.
It is. I mean, they're all special episodes.
I'm going to say that every time.
Yeah, it's true.
I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
Yeah, right? You're a beacon of honesty and truth.
And purity. Pure of heart.
Yes.
Well, the reason why it's special is this episode will share a bit of why this podcast is named what it is.
How we already had the domain name before we even started this podcast.
So, to fill listeners in on a little backstory, Nova used to do a mindfulness and meditation presentation that you named Mindful Polly.
Yeah.
And that you also developed a website for.
Right.
Which was really awesome. I thought it was one of the coolest things that I'd ever seen when I when you first introduced me to it.
Aww.
And I was like, oh really? My God, not only are you a badass coder and you can make websites out of nothing.
Well, I can do that. That's true.
You're a sorcerer.
Okay. I'm getting shy now.
Okay. Sorry, I'm talking you up. I'm trying not to put you too much on the spot. Anyway, I was very impressed.
Thank you. So the reason I was inspired to start doing this presentation was because I did a mindfulness and meditation course a while back, and it happened to be around the same time that I was learning a lot about polyamory, and I realized that the two skills really overlapped. Like, the things I was learning about mindfulness and meditation really helped me in my poly journey.
Mm.
And I thought that was kind of a cool intersection, and I wanted to explore it. So sometimes, you know, if you make a project for yourself, it kind of helps you dive in even deeper and explore it even further. So mm-hmm. I was like, why don't I, you know, I've been to a lot of poly conferences and I've really enjoyed them. And I was like, I wonder if I might have something to offer there. So as part of my pitch to do the presentation, I made the website and then used that to kind of come up with what the presentations would cover. And now I've done it at Beyond the Love, and I did it
Southwest Love Fest.
I did it at Southwest Love Fest, and I've done a couple online ones. I've actually done the presentation a bunch of times now, and I think I've kind of decided I'm going to retire it because it's been really fun, and I'd like to challenge myself on something new and do something new for the next one. But
nice.
One last time,
yay!
Bring it to this episode and share just one small piece of it. I've come up with lots of versions of this, and they're usually much longer than our short little episodes
right.
tend to be.
This will just be a little taste.
A little slice.
But the main point of it is that you can use mindfulness and meditation practices to help you.
Like, yeah.
The presentation talked a lot about how it applied to how these can be helpful for poly people in navigating their emotions.
Yeah. And the website still exists if you want to go find it. It's on our mindfulpoly.com. It's one of the links at the bottom. You can still find it. I didn't take it down. So if you just...
It's still there. It will be there forever.
If you feel like peeking through it.
So great. Well, what we're going to do is Nova is going to lead us through a section of it, kind of a sample. And I'm going to... and you at home can play along. I'm going to be the one as if I'm in her session.
Yeah.
And we're going through the presentation. So how should I prepare? Shoes off?
Shoes off?
I'm about to meditate, I think.
Oh, you only do that barefoot?
Is that what... What are you supposed to do?
Oh, we'll get there.
Okay.
One of the things I realized as I was putting together this presentation is that part of what I connected with when it comes to mindfulness and meditation was... I realized that I've got this history of sort of being, I come from what I would characterize as hippie and engineering roots, like a hippie engineers. And that's kind of what I've become in my own life. And so mindfulness is kind of hippie. It's kind of, you know, there are some people who have a hard time connecting with it because it just seems a little too squishy, a little too, I don't know.
Crunchy.
Maybe that's a word for it. Yeah. But to be honest, the engineering side of me is fascinated by the studies they've done and the research they can do on brains that actually can track the changes that happen when you practice mindfulness. And that's like, I'm just like, I gobble that up.
Mm-hmm. Data, all the stats.
So I think one of the trickiest things about putting together this presentation is that any given audience can have a very different understanding of mindfulness and meditation going into it. Some people have been meditating a long time. Some people have been practicing mindfulness in many ways. And some people are still kind of new to the concepts. So that was always a really challenging aspect, is to try to guess what level makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I've kind of picked a middle ground that hopefully is still interesting to people who practice it all the time.
Mm.
And also still approachable for people who are brand new to it.
Great. That's me.
So mindfulness is really, it's just a very simple concept. It's really just about being in the moment, being present.
Mm-hmm.
More often than we, if we're not aware of it, it's very easy for us to get caught up in thoughts about the future and thoughts about the past and not really even be in the moment we're in right now. Like, if you can even imagine, some of the good examples I've heard many times are if you're at dinner and you're planning what restaurant you should all go to next, and you're kind of missing the fact that you're already at a restaurant enjoying a meal. Or if you think about the last time you took a shower and were actually present for the sensations of what the soap smells like and feels like on your body and what the water feels like. So often we just kind of go into autopilot when we do certain types of tasks.
Mm-hmm.
So mindfulness, that's really all it is being present, being in the moment.
Breaking you out of autopilot.
Yeah, yeah. And so meditation is just a tool that can help you be more mindful. And there are so many kinds of meditation. The one that most people are familiar with are, you know, closing your eyes and paying attention to your breath in some way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So meditation is just one of many tools that can help support your ability to think mindfully. So it's really all about training your awareness. And once you train your awareness, you can be more in the moment. I think of meditation a lot like working out, in the sense that you can't just do it once and suddenly have like amazing muscles. It's something you got to do over and over and over to get practice. It's something you build slowly over time, which I think is one of the challenging things about it, is that like it's easy to do it once or twice and be like, man, I'm awful at it. And it's like, yeah, you'd probably be awful running 6 miles if you just like were sitting on the couch and decided to try it one day. So
yeah, it takes practice.
Yeah, but the nice thing about it is that built into it is sort of an opportunity to give yourself some patience and some space.
Compassion.
Yeah, some compassion. And so meditation, I think sometimes people have a kind of mistaken idea that it's about like sitting and breathing and clearing your mind of all thoughts. And that's really not the goal. It's to bring awareness to the thoughts that you're having and noticing them. The idea that you're just going to like push all the thoughts out of your brain is really kind of going against it. I like to think of it, meditation, as being on a river, on the bank of a river.
Mm.
And so when you're going about your normal day, you're usually in the river. So you're in with all your thoughts. You're caught up in the stream of things. You're going along with it all. And meditation is about sort of sitting on the bank, and you're still, all those thoughts are still happening and they're still going by. You're just noticing them and seeing them and being aware of them.
Observing.
And you're just that little distance of being on the banks can make such a dramatic impact in how you react to all those thoughts going by.
I remember you talking about that in one of your presentations, and it hit me really hard.
Yeah, I remember that you image, sharing that.
Well, because I can just really feel in my imagination of the pull of the current on my ankles.
Oh.
Or on my legs, like when you're deeper in the middle of the river.
Yeah.
And when you walk to the shore, that pressure eases off.
Cool.
You know, you're not swept away by powerful emotions. You can feel them because your feet are still wet, like you're still in it.
Yeah.
You know, but you can observe.
Cool. Yeah, I like that. Being able to connect with that sense of how much power the river has over you by how much it's kind of pulling on you, the sensation.
And I don't think it's helpful to just banish thought and like if you're having an uncomfortable emotion to just stop, like try to make yourself stop.
It's right.
So that river analogy just feels so good at acknowledging its existence, allowing it to pass through you without sweeping you away.
Right. And the part that I've always connected with, I like that you're describing what you connected with is the pull of the river itself. I always enjoy thinking of my thoughts as like fish, because it's such a different relationship. You have such a different relationship when you're imagining your thoughts that way. You can think of them as kind of like, oh, they're kind of cute, or they're kind of playful, or they're kind of active, or they're kind of, you know, you can get all these adjectives in your own mind. And it's such a different relationship than when you're just like, I'm just angry. You know, you're like, oh, there's the angry fish. Look at him.
He's so grumpy.
Yeah. He's going to overbite.
Yeah, one of those like snaggletooth, like deep sea fish.
Yeah.
Fox made fish faces at Nova.
Yeah, they were great. Sorry you missed them. So we've talked a lot about mindfulness and meditation, but we haven't talked a lot about Polly. And that's kind of the main thing that we're trying to connect it up to.
That's why we're all here.
Yeah. So I'm going to start with a quote that I really love that's from Stranger in a Strange Land. Mike doesn't have technique, but when Mike kisses you, he isn't doing anything else. You're his whole universe, and the moment is eternal because he doesn't have any plans and he isn't going anywhere, just kissing you.
Hot.
Yes. Like, I aspire to Mike. Oh my God.
I want
to
kiss Mike.
Well, I mean, I would love to kiss Mike, and I want to be Mike. I want to be the kind of person that is described in that way, that is kissing people in that way, leaving them with the impression that, like, I'm doing nothing else but being there with them in that moment. Mike is incredibly mindful. So for this podcast, I just chose one particular topic out of all the ones I go into in my presentation. And the one I chose is being in the moment with a partner. Because one thing that every poly person seems to connect on is the idea that we have a very busy calendar. And we tend to be juggling a lot of things, and we have a lot of people that we want to make time for. And I think when you have done all that work, you've carved out this time, you've agreed upon a location, and you've set aside this moment to share with each other, the most important thing is to be there, to be mentally there, not just physically there, but mentally be there in that moment, to be connected to that time and that place and that person.
Right.
And I think when you practice mindfulness, it can help you do that.
I find that so helpful. I am the target audience.
And so there are a lot of there's a lot of options for how to practice being more mindful and being more present with a partner. I think senses meditations are really good ways to connect with the moment. And obviously you can do any type based on each of your senses. I personally am most drawn to sound meditation, so that's the one I'm going to focus on today. But you can really choose any of them that you think you enjoy the most.
Great.
So we're going to try something out here. I don't know how well meditation over podcasting works, but we're going to explore going through a really quick one. I'm going to keep it as short as I can, just so you get a taste for what it's like, and you can practice it on your own if you'd like to, and do a more extended version. So the first step of any meditation is really just to get into a comfortable position. So usually that involves sitting up straight or standing straight, kind of rolling your shoulders, getting kind of relaxed in your body. And once you get settled in, you're going to start focusing on your breath and notice what it feels like as you breathe in and as you breathe out. And just take a couple slow breaths that way. You really kind of want to be curious about your breath each time, about what it feels like as it goes in and out. And now I want you to notice the sounds in the room you're in. Obviously, one of the first sounds is going to be my voice, since you're listening to this podcast. But we're going to take just a moment and see if you can identify some other sounds in the room, in the space that you're in. And if you can pick just one of them, spend a little time being curious about it. Is it loud or is it soft? Is it near or far away? What kinds of things can you notice about the sound? And then see if you can pick another sound. See if there are other sounds in the room, even if it's really quiet, or maybe even just notice the silence and explore the sound of silence. And we'll take a brief moment to be curious about that new sound. And then see if you can connect with all of the sounds together. It kind of gives you an idea of the soundscape of this moment. You know, explore what it's like to be right here, right now, and all the sounds that come along with being in this space that you're in. And just let's take a couple breaths, noticing all the sounds around us. And now we'll come back and talk a little bit about that experience.
Hmm.
I kept that one much, much faster than I would normally do them, just for the sake of giving you a taste of what it's like.
Mm-hmm.
And I normally check in and see what people have to say about that experience. Do you have anything you'd like to share, Fox?
That was really nice.
Yeah?
Even the abbreviated version just felt good.
Yeah.
I think there are so many moments where we're reacting on instinct and gut reaction.
Yeah.
And all it takes is 5 seconds to just pause.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Sometimes when I see meditation spoken about, there's an idea that it needs to be for a really long time or it's not going to be meaningful. And yeah, that's a really good...
Skeptical.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it's great if you can invest that kind of time into it, but even if you only have a couple minutes, or what I've found, if you're in a date and you realize that you're really focused on what you just did before the date, or what you need to do next, or trying to plan what's going to happen mm-hmm. the next time you see this person, you can just take, like you said, 5 seconds, take a breath. And for me, I like to notice the sounds in the space I'm in. And that just, it's a quick way for me to be like, oh, right, I'm here now. I'm here in this time and space.
Mm. You know what this made me think of was with my partner River on our video call dates. Sometimes there will be some breaks in the conversation where neither of us are talking. And like, I don't think I've been able to experience this with almost any other person in my life, but with River on those video calls, that I'm able to feel comfortable in those silences.
Yeah.
Like we're able to just let them happen.
I think that's really cool. I feel like silence is often a source of anxiety in relationships for people.
Right. We feel the pressure to fill it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it really speaks highly when you can just like be comfortable in the silence. You're comfortable enough with another human to be silent together.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a really brief idea of one of the gifts that I think mindfulness and meditation can offer to poly people, is just a different way to connect with your in-person time with another human, or even not in-person, virtual time with another human.
Mm-hmm. Long distance time.
And one of the other skills that meditation and mindfulness can cultivate that I think is also really powerful in poly is curiosity. Because if you notice during that meditation, we were curious about the sounds around us.
I liked it.
Yeah, which is really fun. I think curiosity is something that's very natural to us as kids. And we, over time, kind of lose touch with it. We're so often taught not to be curious, to accept what's told or how someone else presents things, instead of saying, well, why is it this way? Or why should it be like that? Or what are you feeling about that? And I think anytime you start applying curious thinking to other people, it can be kind of amazing, because you can be curious about yourself. You can be curious about who you are on a given day, at a given time, during a given date. You can even like, who am I right now in this moment? Yes, I've been this way with this partner before, but who am I today? And what kind of energy am I bringing right now? And who are they? I know what we've been like in the past. I know how our dates have been, but what is this date going to be like? What's it going to feel like? What are we going to share together? And even, I think you can take it further. There's a lot of situations where you might, I've heard so many times people say, well, I know they're going to react this way, or I know my partner's going to feel this way about this thing. And I'm like, but do you? Like,
I've done that so many times.
Maybe you should be curious about that. Give them an opportunity. Give them space to be whatever they are. It's possible you're right, but you might not be. And even when you give off the energy that you already know the answer, they're going to pick up on that. You might be kind of pushing them towards feeling a way that they wouldn't have otherwise.
Kind of taking away an opportunity for them to be present with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus just saying, like, how do you feel? Tell me how you feel. I'd love to know. I'm curious about you. I'm curious about what your reaction is to this. So that is just a very mini little tidbit of one of my presentation topics. If you're curious or you thought it was kind of fun, feel free to check out the website and explore some of those areas that I didn't get to talk about. I've done a presentation about self-love and how mindfulness and meditation can help you with that. And obviously self-love is like huge in the Pali world. Mm-hmm. There's one about conflict and breakups that I personally have found really helpful in my own life. So that was Mindful Pali, the presentation.
Before we let you go, I want to remind everyone that we are doing our audience discussion prompt again this season. This season, the question is, what makes you feel secure in a relationship? Record a voice answer or write to us at podcasts@mindfulpali.com, and we may use it in that episode at the end of the season. We're doing the audience participation. Ah, I bonked my microphone. How embarrassing.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I am so embarrassed.
That's my Grover voice.